Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Can you hear me in the back? Okay. Ah. That will help. Can you hear me? Hello? Ah. Can you hear me in the back now? Good. Okay, good morning, everybody. Excuse our slight tardiness. We have, she was feeling a little unwell this morning, so we had a slower start. Okay, so we're going to start this morning with a prayer. So if you don't mind just adopting a posture of reverence, and we can just pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that we're able to gather again here today this morning. And we beg, Lord, for your Holy Spirit to inspire my mind as I speak with your children today. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll direct the minds of those that are here. If edible flowers is something that something that you would have them do, then I pray, Heavenly Father, that your Holy Spirit will minister to them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, so thank you for coming. And I have to remind you that there is still the rule of 2 feet. So if you don't, if you feel that you're in the wrong class, then you're welcome to leave. No offense taken. I just wanted to start with asking a question. Has anybody here grown edible flowers for the edible market at all? If you have, if you could raise your hand so that I can know. Okay, so just for yourself. Anybody for, you know, the catering industry or anything like that? No? Okay. All right, okay, that gives me an indication as to who is here. Okay, so I'm going to ask if everybody can, if you can, hold your questions until the end. We're asked to do that for the sake of Audioverse. It just keeps things orderly. Okay, and at the end, if you don't mind rating the class. Okay, that's great. Okay, so as you can see there, my name is Michelle Sullivan. You probably already know that by now. It's Friday. and what I'm going to do is start with sharing a little bit of our story and context to how edible flowers came about in the first place. So as you know, we actually were selling microgreens at the time. We had been in the field the previous season, and the Lord opened the way for us to, in an answer to prayer, to help us with our finances. He led us to, you know, I was going to say dabble in microgreens, but it ended up being a whole lot more than just dabbling. We ended up selling and surviving literally on our microgreen sales. But what we found is that as we were going around and Robert was doing the deliveries, he would come home and he'd be saying, "You know, Mish, people keep asking for edible flowers." They're like, "Oh, you know." And at first, you know, we just let it go. It was just, you know, it's not anything we're ever going to do. So, you know, but they were very persistent. And every week, isn't it, you'd go back. And again, he'd come back the following week and say, "They're still asking for edible flowers." And it was just nonstop. And as I'd mentioned before, it was really like the persistent widow. And I think the reason why this came about is because the microgreens that we were selling were so fresh, and it's not something that they were accustomed to, because usually they would have a tub of half-dead microgreens. And for edible flowers, it's even worse, because they're so, if you've ever, you know, if you could imagine picking flowers and having it travel from, because actually it was the same competitor that is in England that were selling microgreens, were also selling edible flowers. So if you can imagine, they're going from England to Glasgow on a truck, and then when they get to Glasgow, they sit there for a few days, and then from there, they may get sold to a wholesaler, and they go on the truck to the wholesaler, and then when they get to the wholesaler, they sit there for a few days until somebody requests them. By the time they request them and they get them into the hot kitchen, they're dead. And literally, the chefs would be saying, they would just pick out the best from the tub. So when they saw our microgreens and saw that they were so much fresher and they had flavor, because we grew in soil opposed to our competitor who grew hydroponically, they had better a better scent and a better flavour. And so therefore, they asked if we could supply them with edible flowers. So why edible flowers? So for me personally, I find them a joy to work with, isn't it? When we go out and we harvest edible flowers, I don't know, it just puts a smile on your face. It's almost like, you know, I used to be in the corporate world, my husband too, and you know, that kind of job, you're sitting there in an office, in a stuffy office, pushing paper. There's no fun in that, you know? And when you compare that with your job is now walking through, you know, beds of hundreds of violas or, you know, different shades and colours, and your job is actually with a bowl and your child beside you, and you're just, and you know, Izzy would come and help with just teach her which ones to pick, you know, just pick the heads and put them in the tub. And then, you know, when you see them all in the bowl, it just looks lovely. And then you look up and you see the sunrise or whatever. It's just such a beautiful office. So for me, they were just a real joy to work with. And you can get really creative with them as well, you know. So, but I'll save that for later. You don't need a lot of land. In fact, you don't, you know, if you have a tunnel, just one tunnel that you may have, you know, you could be, say, a home gardener and you just have your own polytunnel, and you may have raised beds, let's say, in your polytunnel, and you're supplying for your table. You may not even be growing necessarily to sell, but you might want to add edible flowers as something you might want to sell. You can utilize the polytunnel, and edible flowers grow beautifully in the tunnel. We've experienced that ourselves. And you could literally use the, we have a metal purlin that runs down the middle of our tunnel, and you could literally have them in hanging baskets, and you could have them going all the way down the middle of your tunnel. And, you know, you don't need very many. It creates a lot. Okay, and you get a really good return on investment, because especially if you grow them from seed, I mean, the seeds are like, you know, we've done the maths on the seeds, it's like 0.0001 penny, you know, per plant, you know. So the return on investment is fantastic, and especially in the US, because I did a little research before I put this together, and I was astounded at the price that people pay for edible flowers. It's nothing like in the UK. If I was here, that's what I would do. I would do edible flowers here. But we do have a good market with the chefs. And even some retailers. We've had retailers, especially over the pandemic. We had people that would call us up and ask, because they knew that we sold edible flowers, and they may be making a birthday cake or something special, and they would call us up and we would, you know, give them a special order. So for us, in our context, violas was our main crop. Different colours. There's so many different colours of violas, you don't even need to do anything else because there are so many of them. Okay, they are a hardy annual. You can have winter growing violas and summer versions. They do like the full sun, and they grow to about 4 or 5 inches in height. However, we found that in the polytunnel, they do reach and they do grow more. They grow taller, and you can get actual stalks, stems, long stems, yeah. And as I said, in a hanging basket. So this is actually a picture of an edible flower basket. So when the chefs came back to us, constantly knocking, like the persistent widow, asking for us to sell them edible flowers, we thought we would take the plunge. And so I just did a little looking online. And as I was looking online, I found that we could buy plugs, because it was too late at this point to go and start seeds. So we thought, well, if we buy the plugs, maybe that might work. So that's what we did. We bought plugs. That was how we first started out. And they came in a tray of 350, because it was a wholesale company that we went to. And this is what they charged, £34.99. And what I noticed is, you have that here too. You can buy a tray of 288 for $37.50. Now, when I saw this, the first thing I thought, putting on my entrepreneurial hat, is people buy trays of violas or edible flowers. That's a business right there in and of itself. You could just raise the plugs and sell the plugs by the tray, just like this. Because these people are doing it. So, and the Lord, he says he's no respecter of persons, right? And if he can bless these people, then surely he can bless us. And so I had a little look on to see what was going on here, and this is what they're selling. Okay, so you have still here more violas, but they did have other flowers too. Okay, and then if you really want to, you could go to Johnny's and you could buy, look at that, 1,000, you could have 1,000 plants for $39.70. And the colors, once you get into seeds, the colors, they just never ending. You could just be there just playing with different colors and shades and all sorts of things. And these ones are really beautiful. And it's the same also in the UK. As soon as you get into seeds, you know, then you can start playing with different colors. And here are some examples of that. Frizzle Sizzle Mini Tapestry. So we actually did grow, in fact, we didn't put a picture here, it's unfortunate, but we did grow from seed the following season. And we grew some black ones. And we grew a vast array of colors. And then at our local supermarket, we also found that it was at the end of the sort of spring, because you know around springtime, I don't know if it's the same here, but they start to put out at the front of the store, you know, compost and, you know, planting things. And they would sell plugs as well, but it would come towards the end of the season, and obviously they hadn't sold as much as they thought that they would want to, and they were selling off on a sale. It was like pence, wasn't it? It was like pence per plant, some dianthus and some marigolds, I think they were. And so we just took the whole lot, didn't we? And we went and put them with the rest of our stuff. And that was the year that we also did the seeding. So we had these punnets with, what I did is I actually, for the dianthus, I actually picked the petals rather than the whole head and mixed them with the violas, and we took the petals of the marigolds and mixed them with the violas, and then we'd throw in a pansy because the pansies are quite big, and then it gives the chefs a vast array of different things to work with. So this was our very messy farm. My husband decided that we needed tires, hence having so many tires, much to my dismay. And the guy, he was so generous to us, wasn't he? Very keen to keep delivering these tires to us, only to find out later that it was because he would be charged to get rid of them. And so when we need to get rid of them, we were charged to get rid of them. And he just kept calling us and coming. We were like, no, we don't want any more. And so, but they were holding down because we're very, very windy. And what we would do is we would tarp our plots and our beds, and we would have to get something heavy to hold down the tarp. So that's what the tires are there for. That's just a side note. So here we have our son, Dinari, and our daughter, Anea, planting out the violas and in the beds. And I think we worked out that it was a 12-inch spacing. It was too much, yeah. We realized that we could bring them in a lot closer. And then they took about, in our context, you know, in our weather, about 8 to 12 weeks, they're in sort of full bloom. And so here they are. Once they get off, they are prolific, and they just keep going and going and going. Okay, and they don't seem to mind the weeds so much, as you can see. We have grass growing through, and they just are still growing. And it's quite interesting. I once went out to pick some heads, and I remember pulling on the head of a viola plant, and the whole plant sort of came with the head. And then I realized it was just literally dangling on one thread of root, but the whole plant was just surviving. I just was amazed by that. I was like, wow, look at that. You know, it kind of reminded me of being connected to the vine, you know, and, you know, the spiritual parallel there. But they're very hardy, is how I like to put it. So they don't seem to mind the weeds. And then that weed control fabric that you saw actually blew off. So they don't seem to mind just growing without weed control fabric either. So there they are. This is quite early in the season. They do bush out quite a bit more. So then when we moved to the estate, we didn't put the violas out into the field because the deer love them. And we didn't have our deer fencing up at the time. And so we decided that, well, we wanted to continue with the edible flowers, but we'll just put them in the tunnel. And so we bought these crates. We didn't buy them. I don't know where we got them from, but we got these crates. I do believe that sometimes daffodils, like if you buy daffodil bulbs, and they'll come in these crates. And so what we did is we just lined it with a little bit of weed control fabric, and then we filled it with dirt, you know, with the compost. Because what we found is the weed control fabric would hold the compost in place, but it's permeable, so the water can filter through. And so that's what we did. We just cut the weed control fabric out to line the base of the crate, and then we literally just popped the plugs in. And I think I have a video of that. How do I? The bottom. Oh, okay. So this is just to demonstrate. So I just literally went through with my finger just to create the hole, and you can see the closeness of the density there. So we could have got a whole lot more in the field. And then we just popping the plugs in. And I don't know if you can notice, but when we bought these plugs, we didn't get them out very quickly. And in fact, even when they came, they were quite root bound, weren't they? Quite root bound, literally almost white. Sometimes I just kind of tease the roots, just tease them away from one another. But you see that, how white that was? But they don't seem to mind, they just take off. You don't really have to do very much at all. So there they are going in. I don't know what this one. Oh, yeah. Bigger. Yeah, a bigger. And continuation of the job. And as Robert was saying with the microgreens, you know, and as we were saying the other day, you could literally just sit down. I'm just sitting down and, you know, sitting inside the warm tunnel. It's not particularly strenuous. You know, the children can do it. So there they are going in. I don't know how to let it finish, okay. Ah, there we are. Yeah, and as I said, everything grows better in the tunnel. The only problem that we found in the tunnel was with watering. You have to stay on top of the watering, because I think we killed our violas two seasons in a row. And literally, it was just one day is all it took. You have to have your watering down, because they are, and especially when you put them in the crates, because you're having less soil. So they have less, you know, moisture to take up. And so they dry out really, really quickly. So you do need to watch them. And especially, I think, if you have them in a hanging basket, it will be the same as well. You have to stay on top of the watering. What was it, twice a day? We'd have to go out there twice a day to water, because they're very, you know, they're very delicate. So here is a little video of them, the same ones that we just put in. This is them now in full bloom. And it didn't take very long at all, did it? In the tunnel, it was even faster. It's a beautiful office, isn't it? Violas and pansies at this point, wasn't it? Yeah. And as I said, you can see how they're reaching more. You can see the stems here in the tunnel. So, pests. We have a huge slug problem in Scotland because we have such a high water table. In fact, the whole of the UK, isn't it? It's just a known fact that slugs are going to be a bother, and they do go after the violas. They love them. And we go in there, isn't it, and we see them, they're just there, just chomping away. So Floret Farms, I don't know if any of you are familiar with Floret Farms. I forget the name of the lady. Yes, that's right. She, I I was watching some things and reading her books, and she suggested Sluggo. So we started to buy this Sluggo for the slugs. It's organic. It's actually just iron. So when it breaks down, it just breaks down into, you know, iron into the soil, so it's not going to hurt anybody. We started out with Sluggo, didn't we? Until we saw the size of the problem that we had. It was just, you know, the field. We planted, I think I've mentioned before, we planted 1,000 pumpkins, didn't we? And within 24 hours, the slugs had demolished them all. Every single one. It was very disheartening. And so we haven't actually had any success with pumpkins yet, have we? Because of the slug issue. And you would think they would leave the tunnel alone, but they don't. They just come in and make themselves at home. And so we realized, because of the size of the problem, we needed a bigger, a sizable bag of Sluggo. So we looked around online. Yes, dear? You want to add something? Yes, so she's saying we can put salt and they'll shrivel up. I think the plants might shrivel up too, but so we managed to find this product, Slux HP, and they say it's a base of pasta, and then they add the kind of iron phosphate to it, and then they add something else. It's all still organic, but what we find with the Sluggo is they say that the Sluggo rots, and slugs will not eat rotten Sluggo. So you can see it there, and we've had this experience. Huh? Oh yeah, when you water it, that's right. So when you're watering your violas or whatever it is that you're putting out, and you've put Sluggo down, the moment it gets the water on it, it begins to break down, and then it rots, and the slugs are just back again, even though you can see the Sluggo's there. But this Slux HP that we get is not the same way. It takes a lot longer for it to break down because of the properties that they put in there, and it works a treat, doesn't it? And, you know, we get it at this price. So it's more cost effective. And so we literally just broadcast this stuff, don't we? So, yes, we have deer. And we had an experience with the deer. You love them, don't you? I know. A reindeer. Yeah, so we had a situation, in fact, I can go to the next slide, where we had an order for a large order for a wedding, and that's why I put the picture there, because they wanted it for the reception drinks. And this was actually our very first big order from our violas, and we were like, when the guy called us, we were like so excited. You can imagine, you know, we were so excited. We were like, oh wow, this is going to be really good. And we went to check the violas. We were like, yes, the violas are ready, we can pick them. And the amount that he needed, we kind of went through. And I think you went through and did a little sort of calculation. Yeah, I think we should be able to supply this. We went to bed and we were like, okay, we'll come out the next day and we'll come and harvest. When we came out, there was nothing there. We couldn't believe it. We were like, what on earth? You know that? And we realized, because we saw the poo, it was deer. They had come through and they'd eaten all the heads of the violas. And we couldn't believe it. We were like, what are we going to do now? Like, do we just call the guy and tell him, you know, I'm really sorry, but the deer have eaten your flowers? Or what do we do? And so, but we still had a couple of days. So went to bed, woke up the next day, went out there. What do you think I saw? They were back. I couldn't believe it. I was just like, so quickly. And then the next day, even more. And it was just, you know, we were just skipping and, you know, praising the Lord. We just couldn't believe that this is how they work. So, so as long as they don't eat all the way down to the root, which we have had that happen as well, if they're just, you know, eating the tops, then they do come back. And obviously, it's just the way that they are, even with deadheading, you know, violas, the more you pick. So actually, I think the deers probably did us a favor, because the more you pick, the more they grow. So there we go. So this is how we would supply the violas. Same as the microgreens, actually. But you can see it's a lot, the weight is very different. Mm-hmm. Rather than the 30 gram standard for microgreens, we had 30 grams, 20 grams, and 15 grams. It's instead, as you can see, 5 grams. And I put the ounces there because I know that you guys, I don't think you do grams, do you? Do ounces? Yeah. And so that's the price that we charge our chefs. $3.83, that's exact to the penny. So that's what we charge. However, there's good news for you folks, because I found this company here, Cherry Valley Organics, and this is how much they charge. I don't know if you can see that. $24.99. Yeah, $18.99, $21.99. Say that again. Go back one, sorry, okay. There you go.
Is this a company in
US? Yeah, this is a US company. Say that again. Yeah, you'll see. I'll show you. The best is yet to come. Okay. Oh, it's not on that one. Is it on the next one? Ah, it's on the next one. But take a good look at that. Yeah. Soak it in. 50 heads. Shall I tell you what that is? It's about the size of our tubs. Isn't it? It's about 40, 50 heads. Yeah. It's crazy. I was just like, wow, this is just... So now you can seed them up. You can sell them as plugs in trays. Then you can have some that you keep aside for yourself that you put into a tub and sell them for $25 for 50 heads. I'm just like, this is just an amazing business. You could even have edible flower hanging baskets and sell the hanging baskets. $4.
Yeah, and we sell, well, that's to a restaurant, and $5 to the market.
Okay. Okay. So $5 and $4 in your context, yeah. But maybe it might be an idea to go online. And sell throughout the whole of the US. I would do that if it were me. Okay, and so here's another company, Melissa's. She's selling online. She has here 40 to 50 heads for $22.79. And what does she say there? This item is perishable and must be shipped overnight next day. I am not sure, you know. I think I'm not sure. You think you pay for the shipping? Yeah. When you go through the process, it probably add it afterwards. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So here are some examples of how edible flowers are used. It's a really beautiful existence. So these are the wedding reception flowers and the macaroons. Do you have these macaroons here?
Yes.
Yeah. I've never tried them, but I have seen. Say that again? It has eggs.
The traditional ones have eggs.
Okay. You can make vegan variety. So that's another business right there. So you can seed them up and sell the plugs in a tray. You can sell hanging baskets. You can sell them by the head. Or you can start a macaroon company. And then you can sell macaroons with edible flowers on them. Here's another example of how... Yeah? Could you imagine you could actually have an ice cube business? You know, an edible flower ice cube business where you put the flowers in and you make the ice cubes, you put them in a beautiful bag and you sell them to whoever. Can you imagine rose water infused ice cubes with edible flowers? You could put rose petal in each or whatever, because you know roses are edible. So there's another business idea. They just keep coming, don't they? Or you could have a cake or a, we call them biscuits, but cookies, yeah. We do have cookies as well. In the UK, cookies are large and biscuits are this size. So you could dry them and you could have a cookie business. Or a cake business. You could just be the person that sells cakes, just edible flower cakes. You could even put the petals inside, in amongst the icing or buttercream that you put inside, so when you cut through, there's edible flowers inside. And so these are some of the pictures of some of the people that used our edible flowers. So this is how they were used. These are the nasturtiums. And Bonobo Cafe is a vegan cafe in Aberdeen. Castle Fraser, we have a national trust in the UK where we have special estate buildings that they have some kind of historical context, and usually people take it over, or the government may take it over, or a charity, which is the National Trust for Scotland. And so they had a cafe there, and they were buying our microgreens and edible flowers, weren't they? Mm-hmm. And so here's a picture of that at the National Trust. It would have been a big castle. And so there we have, again, Castle Fraser, the National Trust of Scotland, over on the left. And then Avo, a company where everything on their menu includes avocados. And so their business was called Avo. And you can see there they have red amaranth, which was not from us because we couldn't grow it. But there we have our violas. And here again, that one on these two is a company called Wanda and Gray's. And what they were doing is they were creating these charcuterie boards, but they would put them in a box. And then they would deliver them to the customer, and it would have all manner of things. So that's another business idea, you know. Charcuterie boards, you could do vegan ones or whatever. And then they just sprinkle the flowers just to finish off the look. Yeah, good question. I didn't include this actually in the slides, but they are very delicate. So when we pick them, we put them straight in the fridge. We don't wash them. Same with the microgreens, actually, we don't wash them, but we do put a sign on the box that says wash before use. But obviously it's up to people what they want to do. Of course, we don't spray anything with anything, you know, but I find that as soon as you begin to add water to microgreens or edible flowers, they just start to go downhill. So we just don't bother with that. When they were in the field, sometimes they would be a bit wet, wouldn't they? And so we would just take a paper towel and just sort of dance them around on the paper towel. Just to knock off the extra moisture. And then we would just put them in the 1,000 ml tub that we had, which holds 100 grams of microgreens, we would collect them and put them all in there. Sometimes we'd line it with a paper towel, and then we'd just put it in the fridge until we're ready to box them down into smaller portions. But as long as they're kept in the fridge, they keep quite long. Do you remember how long they would keep for in the restaurants? I know that the microgreens would last a good full 2 weeks. Yeah. And the edible flowers, I don't think, was too far from that. Definitely a good week. Yeah, definitely a good week. And so even in savory food, they put them. And this was our daughter's 10th birthday. And there was a lady, she's actually from the US, and she lives in Aberdeen. And she makes vegan donuts. And that was her business. Her business was vegan donuts. And she would sometimes call us and ask for our edible flowers, and she would add them to the donuts when they go out to the customer. So you could have a vegan donut business and for edible flowers. And so this was, so we got some from her because it was at the time when she'd requested them. And it was our daughter's birthday, so we just married the two. And we bought some and took a picture to show you how she used it. And there again, we have Bio Cafe. They were, or are, are they plant-based? They're plant-based restaurant in Aberdeen. And they don't use sugar either. They use sugar alternatives, but they don't use artificial sweeteners either. So they'll use, you know, coconut, sugar, palm sugar, things like that. And so here's a cheesecake that they made. It's really pretty. And this is another picture. Julia Bryce had posted this picture. Now, Julia Bryce is actually the main editor for the Press and Journal, which is a newspaper for the Highlands and Islands area. And so I think she had also bought the ladies' donuts with our violas, and she posted it on her Instagram, and she tagged us in. Yeah. So let's take now there are so many edible flowers that we would be here for a long time. So I just thought, let me just pick a few. Excuse me. I'll just pick a few just to show you which varieties you could possibly practice with. So we have honeysuckles and we have forget-me-nots. Has anybody grown any of these? Did you know they were edible?
Yeah, I picked that stuff and it's sweet.
It's sweet, yeah.
I wasn't sure what I was doing, but it was sweet.
Thank you. Oh, thank you. Take a seat. Yeah, so the honeysuckles, I mean, the way that they look, you know, if you have a creative mind, they just look really, like, they would look really good in a tub with the, I can almost see already how they could be used. And then the forget-me-nots as well. And then we have the dianthus. The dianthus we did grow. Oh, and the cornflowers we grew. We've used cornflowers as well. I don't know if you have a different name for them, but that's what we call them anyway. The dianthus we picked the petals. So we picked the head, but then we took the petals, we teased the petals out of the head. And then we just sprinkled them in with the rest of the edible flowers. And then the heads of the cornflowers as well. And then we have roses, obviously rose petals. And then the nasturtiums, which is the leaves and the flowers. And you can get many different colors of nasturtium. And then we have geraniums. Yeah, is your favorite. And then calendula. And again, I think for me, I would use the petals and I would use the heads. So I put some petals in, but then if somebody wanted it, you could create something with the heads. I mean, I know they're a bit larger, but I just think they're really pretty. And again, with the geraniums, you could use the whole head or the petals. And then we have hibiscus. You have a lot in Indonesia, I could imagine. Yeah. So we have hibiscus and obviously the violas and pansies, which has worked very well in our context. And then primrose. Again, you can use the head or the petals. I would go with the petals personally with the primrose. And then here's an example of the mix. And you can see here they have the petals of sunflowers and the heads. And then again, you've got the rose petals. Does anybody remember the name of these? Is it straw flowers? I can't remember if it's straw flowers. I really like them. Oh no, it's like a type of daisy. It's a type of daisy, yeah. It looks like it in there, yeah. And then we have violets. And then obviously lilac. And borage, we did borage as well. That's the other one we did, yeah. We did borage. So when we had our mix, we had dianthus, borage, cornflower, violas, and pansy. And clover. Fuchsia. And chrysanthemums. And obviously you can get, you know, you can just get creative because you could have like all different shades and, you know. And here are some examples. And then we can't forget your squash flowers. And we have had people request squash flowers from us. So you could, you know, if you farm and you grow other things, like let's say you have a market garden, you would have to have some squash that you just literally, you're not growing the plant for the fruit, you're just growing it for the flowers because you'd have to take the flowers, you know. Yeah, you want to keep it going, so you just, you know, sacrificial ones just for the flowers. Okay, so, any questions? Do you know why I didn't? Sorry. Oh, I have to repeat the question, yeah. So you're asking, How low down into the stem do we cut the heads off?
Yeah.
Well, we didn't. We just pulled the heads.
Oh.
Yeah, we never really cut. We just, it's almost like deadheading. So we would just take the head, snap the head off. Yeah, because I would assume so. It's not something, oh, sorry. Will they be happy with rainwater? That's the question. I would say yes, because the violas that we had in the field had nothing but rainwater. We didn't irrigate in the field. We have such a high water table. It rains often. So we didn't, I don't think we ever watered in outside, did we? We never irrigated outside. So outside they were fine. And we did have, don't get me wrong, it wasn't raining every day. We did have days where we have nothing, you know, but they're perfectly happy outside. Inside, I would assume if you're collecting rainwater, it would be fine. Yeah. Is the watering schedule for edible flowers the same as microgreens? What would you say? Not really, no. Because you could do the microgreens just once a day, couldn't you? You can get away with that, especially if you're bottom watering. But if it's in the tunnel, you'd need to do it twice. If it's hot, it may even be more. You may even have to water two or three times. You just need to go and make sure they're not drying out, because literally we have gone in and found the whole lot dead. So sometimes they come back. We have had it where they've come back, but it's just damaged. It, you know, all your work. We watered over above, yeah. So we didn't bottom water. We just went through with the sprayer and we just sprayed them. Yes, go ahead. What medium? The same peat moss is what you call it? Yeah, same peat moss, yeah. And we never fertilized, did we? We never fed them. Although I assume you probably could, but we've never really had to, and it's never been a problem. So, yeah. Sure, go ahead. Yeah, so the question is, how do we protect them? Do they get bruised easily when you're taking the petals from the head, or when you're, you know, taking the heads, etc.? Well, Izzy helped, and you know how children are. She would come through and help. As much as they're delicate, they're also quite, you know, resistant. Resistant, is that the right? Resilient. They're quite resilient. So we never had any problems with that. I never even gave it a second thought, to be honest. I just took the petals, just took the, you know. I would generally, I don't know how to do this. If I had the head here, I would generally go with my fingers like this and pull it between my fingers. That was my way, and they just kind of pop off. Mm-hmm. So that's how I did it. And then when I'm taking the petals, I would just take the head and then I'd pull the petals off, you know, and then just drop that into the bowl or whatever it is that we're using. I'll take over. So apparently you can use the flowers to dye cloth, so there could be another business. it just goes on and on. So the question is, do we put a paper towel in? Is the paper towel wet when we... No is the answer. We don't put a wet paper towel in. We put a dry one to absorb or wick away any moisture that may be in there, just to keep them dry. But then we would put them in the fridge. And we would keep them in the fridge until we're ready for them. But we generally would wait until the last minute. You know, sometimes Robert could be getting ready to take a microgreen order or whatever order out. And whilst he's loading the van, I may go out and get the flower heads. We've literally done it that close before. And then I'll come in. That is ideal for us. It's like, leave it to the last minute. But there have been occasions where we've picked and we've stored them in the fridge, and then the next day we've dealt with them. You know, we've boxed them down. There was a question at the back. Yeah. We didn't do any marketing, actually. Oh, sorry. So the question is, how did we go about marketing the edible flowers? Was it that we just gave it to the customers that we already had? Or did we do anything else? The answer to that question is no, we didn't do any marketing at all. I believe there was a bit of word of mouth, because somebody would come and say, oh, I hear somebody told me that you do edible flowers, so, you know. But ultimately, it was our microgreen customers that took them. And it was the chefs and restaurants that were our main purchasers. Yeah. No, we weighed them. Yeah, we weighed. Sorry, she was asking. Did we weigh them or did we just pack them up? And no, we weighed them. We weighed them. Sometimes we wouldn't weigh them if somebody wanted a specific amount. So if they said we need 150 heads, then we'll give them about 160, 70, sometimes even 200 to make sure that they cover. Because if anything does happen to any within, then they have, you know, a little bit of a backup. So if it's like a wedding and they need it for the reception drinks, they have 150 drinks, we may give them 200 heads. But the pricing can, well, I don't know how we did it for that particular one, but generally it would be by the weight. It's 320 for 5 grams, so if it worked out to be, you know, 20 grams, then we'll just, you know, per 5 grams. Yeah. And at the back? Right. A good question. So other than aesthetically, because they're so very beautiful, are there any other values that could be found, whether it be nutritional or, what was the other one?
Culinary.
Yeah. So for nasturtium, there is definitely culinary flavour. And people would request it for certain dishes because it has a kind of wasabi taste to it. Actually, it makes me feel sick, but I don't know, it gets to me here. I don't really like it personally myself. Nutritionally, we've never researched, I'll be honest with you. I don't know. Possibly there is, but I couldn't tell you because I haven't researched that myself and looked into that. Because of the angle that we came in, it was a request, so we just didn't think too much of it. Didn't do a lot of research in it, we just gave the customer what they wanted. But there is taste. Somebody mentioned about the honeysuckle. I haven't gone around. Do you know, it's funny because there was one time, I don't know if you remember, but I found that sometimes when you smell them, there's a sweet that, or candy, I think you call it. There's a sweet that we have in the UK and they're called, is it Palmer Violets? They're called Palmer Violets. I don't know if it's something you have, but it has a really strong scent. And I found that when the flowers were together within this tub, it smelt like Palmer Violets, these little purple sweets. So to me, that was a plus because I really liked them when I was young. but that's all I know. I can't answer any deeper than that. Sure. Good question, isn't it? I should have asked them. Because you know how it is, you know, you can go in, sorry, let me repeat the question. Do people actually eat them or is it just for decoration? And yeah, it's one of those things where, you know, you go to a restaurant and you see that a dish has been given to somebody and it has a side salad. And when they give it back, yeah, the garnish never gets, I eat the garnish, like I need that. but a lot of people don't. So it's a good question. I don't actually know the answer to that, but it's something worth finding out. I mean, we eat them, don't we? We've eaten the edible flowers. Like when we put it in our things, we eat the whole thing. So yeah, that, absolutely. Sure, go ahead. Yeah, go on. Which is, I think, sorrel as well, isn't it? Isn't it the same? Yeah, sorrel. So, and I know there are nutritional benefits to sorrel or hibiscus, yeah. Of the actual thing, yeah. That's right. And that's the other thing, which I didn't put on here, and I'm glad you just mentioned that and you said herbs, because a lot of the flowers from herbs are also edible. Okay, so like the chives and, you know, many, many different flowers are all edible from the herbs. And then you'll get the flavour and the scent from that particular herb. And there was a question, yeah. I think they're trying to bring my mic back, so I'll just speak loudly. But just be, you know, be careful, of course, as well. You know, do your research. Please don't go eating everything that, you know. We had a situation in the news just recently where a 14-year-old boy ate some berries and died. So as a disclaimer, I'm not telling you to go and eat everything. You know, so just do your due diligence. Go out there and, you know, do your research and check and make sure that they are safe to eat. Don't go feeding things to chefs and their customers that are not fit for human consumption. So just, you know, just double check and make sure. So the question is about public liability insurance. Yeah. Public liability insurance is something that you should have. It's something that we usually have, but I think ours is expired and we need to renew it. But it's definitely something that you need to have. That's really the answer to that. Yeah, we it's something we've always had. I did my qualification in nutritional therapy, and I even for myself took public liability insurance just in case. It's just it's just something I think everybody should do if you're dealing with the public. So you just don't know what might come back to you. Okay. Our most profitable crops, coming from the man himself, is edible flowers, ta-da, and Salanova lettuce. They are our two most profitable crops. Oh, really? So basically, what this young lady is saying here is that in her context, a lot of people love like flowering herbs, like we call it rocket, but arugula, and kale, did you say? The kale flowers, they seem to love that. Oh, okay, so yes, my husband said that the most profitable crops were the edible flowers and Salanova lettuce. Okay, I would actually agree with him. We cut and come again on the Salanova, yeah. We'd cut it, and then we would come back about 6 weeks, I think it's 6 weeks later, isn't it? And then we would cut again. And I think we cut three times. Salanova, yeah. Salanova, yeah. And so we sell them in 500 gram bags. What would that be in pounds? Just over a pound, yeah. So, and we sell that to our catering company. And we sell that for, what's the price? £10 per bag. Salanova, yeah. Salanova. Yeah, and we buy a green and a red, and we mix them. You know, I know people do salad mixes and they put all sorts of things in, but we just stick with those two. And in fact, this new season, I did say to my husband, oh, because I love butterhead. And here we are, we have a farm, and we're selling Salanova, you know, the kind of, what's the name of, I can't remember, they're slightly more frillier. And then I'm going to the store and buying butterhead lettuce, you know, because that I just love it. It's my favorite. And so I said, we need to grow butterhead. So I think we do intend this year to branch out and grow a red and a green variety of the butterhead. And then we can provide the catering company with both. So, and that just adds a little variety for them as well and their chefs. I have never experienced the stems and the leaves of the edible flowers. So the question is, have we ever eaten or sold the stems and the leaves? But I haven't. We haven't had any experience of that. There was a question in the back there. Yeah. I don't. Does anybody know if the okra flower is edible? Yeah, I think you'd need to check, Google that one, because I don't know. Say that again. Oh, there you go. There's an answer. It's related to hibiscus. So likely it is. Yeah, I know with the only experience we've had is with nasturtium, where we have the flower and the stem. I do know, obviously, we sell more of the stem. Have we ever used the flower? I don't think we have ever let it even go to flower. So we've not had that experience, but the stems definitely. Are there any more? Okay, so we're being told that primrose oil is very good for ladies in their cycle with bad cramping. So, okay, so I think that we can bring this to an end, and we'll just close with a prayer, if that's okay with you. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that we were able to enjoy the fruit of the nature that you've given us, and we're actually even able to make a living from it. So we're so thankful for all that you do. And we ask, Lord, that you'll continue to impress upon the minds of those that are here and help them to know what it is that you would have them to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.